Ireland decides to accept a bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Ireland has formally requested help from its European partners. The country's banks lost billions in the real estate bust and the global economic crisis. And now, after some hesitation, the Irish government says it does indeed need help from the European Union and the International Monetary Fund to keep its financial system afloat. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Ireland is getting a package of loans worth more than $100 billion. The EU and the IMF were afraid that a loss of confidence in Ireland could spread to other heavily indebted countries that use the euro. The biggest worry, says Professor Dominic Swords, is that turmoil in more euro countries could knock confidence in the whole system. And if the euro unraveled, that would hit the global recovery.
An event like that, like the European currency running into big problems, could completely destabilize that return to growth that we're beginning to see.
The bailout may not have solved the euro's problems or ended Ireland's misery. Moody's has just downgraded Ireland's credit rating. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
So what's it like to live in a country that's about to be bailed out? Let's find out from Father Iggy O'Donovan. He's the parish priest in the Irish town of Drogheda, just north of Dublin. Father, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
So what's the mood there among the people you're talking to about this bailout? Are people relieved or embarrassed or what?
In a strange way, there's a certain level of relief. Because the arrival of the IMF and the European Central Bank, at least it has given us a degree of certainty. There had been the feeling in recent months that we were totally drifting, leaderless. We had the mother of all real estate booms. And it came to a shuddering halt. All our eggs were in that basket. While we had a mighty party, we have the mother of all hangovers now.
But there was a lot of pushback by the government saying that you didn't need a bailout. It seemed like there was some level of embarrassment about getting help from Europe. Is that your sense?
There was. The great pride there was that Ireland had broken away from Britain, become a fully fledged member of the European community. There was a confidence, there was that pride. And now that we've had to go cap in hand, we've handed over our economic independence literally to the IMF and the European Central Bank. And we simply had to admit that we simply were unable economically to manage our own affairs. It's embarrassing.
And is it something that everyone is talking about? I mean, is it the topic of conversation in the streets, in the pubs, places like that?
It is. And we're a pretty patient people in some ways, in that unlike the Greeks and the French, the Irish generally don't take to the streets. We're happy to go on the chat lines on the public radio and complain about the government and so forth. But if I could sum it up this way, what's happened to us recently is a massive surgical operation carried out without an anesthetic on a patient who thought he was in the best of health.
Father Iggy O'Donovan, a parish priest in the Irish town of Drogheda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much indeed.
And let's do the numbers. Markets in Europe are down a fraction of a percent right now on that Irish bailout news. We just got earnings from Tyson Foods. The company reported a profit of more than $200 million and says it saw an increase in domestic demand for chicken. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow rose 22 points to close at 11,203.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. By the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio.
At last count, Michigan's unemployment rate was 13%. Add that statistic to a glut of vacant homes, and you've got big trouble if you're the utility company. Turns out squatters, homeowners, and even businesses in Michigan are getting busted in record numbers for trying to get gas and electricity for free. Sarah Hewlett of Michigan Radio has the story.
Every day of the work week, a team from DTE Energy investigates tips of illegal gas and electrical hookups.
DTE.
They visit homes like this one on the city's west side, where theft investigator Keith Gross finds a meter box that's been hacked into.
I wonder why. Look at this. running right straight through the wall. Little piece of 16-gauge wire.
Inside the box, the meter is gone. Someone has wedged a nail and what looks like a scissor blade into the box to conduct electricity, and they've connected it to a wire that's threaded into a hole in the side of the house.
Don't try this at home, kids.
That's Mark Johnson. He heads DTE's theft investigation unit. Johnson says the makeshift connection could give someone a powerful shock. He says the flimsy wire pushed through the house's clapboard siding is a recipe for fire. And he says these jury-rigged connections are powering homes all over Detroit. Last year, DTE found 60,000 instances of energy theft. The company is able to bill some of it to the energy thieves themselves, but the utility estimates its losses due to theft are at least $45 million a year, and those losses are ultimately passed on to paying customers. Part of the reason theft is so rampant in Detroit, Johnson says, is because the city has tens of thousands of abandoned homes.
And every one of those abandoned homes is a potential squatter house. And if you're a squatter, you have no legal right to live there, so therefore you can't get utility service. And so they steal. And when we turn off the theft, they move to the next house. I've had little kids tell me that, oh yeah, we've lived in all these houses. You know, we've moved house to house to house. As we've turned off theft, they just squat in the next house.
DTE officials say they put millions of dollars each year into a fund to help people pay their bills. But they say they can't help people who don't seek assistance. And many people never do. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
And finally, a 4-year-old boy in the UK was trying out his brand new metal detector when it started beeping. Well, he and his dad dug down a few inches into the ground and they found a shiny gold thing. Turns out it was a 500-year-old locket worth $4 million. Kids, before you go asking your parents right now for a metal detector for Christmas, just trust me when I say that never happens. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You need jobs? We got jobs.
The conventional wisdom up to now is that the prime generators of jobs are small businesses. But it's not just any small business, it's really the new businesses.
I'm Kai Rizdal. What's really fueling employment and the day's business news as well? Next time on Marketplace, it's from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.